The fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. The Great Mithridatic War, Part 4. Pompey takes over and the Great Chase. Pompey took command from Lucullus in 66 BC, but before he could go after Mithridates, Pompey had to carry out an expensive campaign to put down the pirate naval forces in the Aegean Sea. At that time, Mithridates sent diplomatic envoys to Pompey asking for peace terms. Pompey's response was pretty blunt. First of all, unconditional surrender. And secondly, deliver up all of the Roman traitors, that is, people fighting for him. Mithridates chose to withdraw to the mountain strongholds in southeastern Pontus. So Pompey and his Roman army were forced to advance into difficult terrain, and some of his troops actually deserted. Finally, Pompey engaged Mithridates with his forces in a night attack by moonlight. Pompey was just as successful as Lucullus had been near Desteria. Mithridates and his troops suffered a major defeat, with Mithridates losing over 10,000 men killed in action and prisoners of war. But one of the most remarkable episodes of the Mithridatic Wars, that is, Mithridates and three members of his cavalry escaped the chaos, riding into the hills above Desteria. There they were joined by some of the Pontic survivors, a few cavalry and a few thousand infantry. Now Mithridates led Pompey on a fantastic wild goose chase across the rugged terrain of Armenia and then into Colchis, or Georgia. Mithridates and his men used hidden mountain passes to the Phasis River. There they turned west towards the Black Sea. In the fall, Mithridates and his troops camped, sheltered by his allies, at the trading port of Dioscurus. Meanwhile, Pompey had no idea where Mithridates was, at least exactly. Pompey's forces suffered losses of troops from Mithridates' allies, who used all sorts of tactics, ambushes, toxic honey, poisonous snakes, and fierce mountain tribesmen. I will make a comment on the toxic honey. In this part of the world, on the Black Sea, you have several plants that grow there that when the bees make their honey, it produces a neurotoxin. In small doses, it can act as a pain reliever. In large doses, it paralyzes you. Doesn't necessarily kill you, but you can't move any muscles. This was first mentioned by Xenophon in his march up the country on his way back from Persia, where the people liked him, but they poisoned him anyway, but they didn't kill his troops. So it's an interesting concoction. At the foot of the Caucasus Mountains, Pompey gave up the chase. In his mind, he had finally won the final Mithridatic War. When Pompey heard rumors that Mithridates, now in his 70s, planned to cross the forbidden Caucasus Mountains, an obstacle the Romans considered absolutely impassable, Pompey assumed that his old enemy was doomed to die in the mountains' ice and snow. Declaring victory, Pompey marched east to see the Caspian Sea and then headed south to Syria and then to Jerusalem, seeking more conquests and more glory. Amazingly, in the winter spring of 66-65 BC, Mithridates and his men made it across the Caucasus Mountains by using daunting trails and high, narrow passes. As they descended the northern slopes towards the Don River, Mithridates was welcomed by the Scythian tribes around the Sea of Azov. Mithridates next popped up in the Bosporus outpost of Pencapium, which was ruled by Mithridates' son Machares. But having made peace with Lucullus, Machares had committed suicide, so Mithridates was actually greeted by another son, Pharnaces. Mithridates now consolidated his position in the Crimea and then sent a message to Pompey, who was busy annexing Syria. Mithridates hoped to strike the same deal Pompey had granted Tigranes after his defeat. Mithridates promised that he would pay tribute in exchange for his restoration to Pontus. Well, Pompey refused. So Mithridates raised another army. This time he made plans to invade Italy by land and by crossing the Alps. But in 63 BC, he was betrayed by his son, Pharnaces, and lost his kingdom and his life. Mithridates' death is somewhat mysterious. Ancient accounts are contradictory. All agree he died in his castle tower at Phanagoria with two of his young daughters during Pharnaces' revolt. But did he try to take poison and it failed because of his fabled immunity to all poisons? Remember the Mithridatium? Was he killed by one of his bodyguards? Was he murdered by Pharnaces' henchmen? Or did he escape again? The face of the corpse that Pharnaces sent to Pompey was unrecognizable. Perhaps emulating Alexander the Great, Pompey broke with tradition and treated the body of his enemy with respect. He gave Mithridates a royal funeral. But even Mithridates' final resting place is uncertain to this day. So a fascinating character has finally come to an end. Now, some of the sources where you can find some of the material is The Poison King, Life and Legend of Mithridates. That's by Mayer. And The Mithridatic Wars, Historical Introduction by Mayer, Ancient Warfare, Volume 10, Number 3. And then the same sources that I've been using, The History of the Romans by Heckelheim and Yao, Chronicles of the Roman Republics by Matusek, and The History of the Romans by Born. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.